and spared not the old world. I think it does us well once a year to look at the antediluvian civilization. Take your Bibles and turn to a number of scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 2, Genesis chapter 6, and if you're really, really good, Psalm 139. You say, would you say those over again? Gladly. 2 Peter chapter 2, Genesis chapter 6, and Psalm 139. We get our title from the reading here in 2 Peter chapter 2. And spared not the old world. Do you believe that at some point in time, God is going to have to bring a drastic punishment against our world? When you consider what he has done in past because of the sins of mankind. Now you ponder that. Let's begin reading, if you would, please, at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people. Do you think there are false prophets in churches today? Do you think there are teachings that are being taught that are ungodly and anti-Bible? Believe me, there are. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Notice the way of truth shall what? Shall be even spoken against. How sad that is that in our society that good is called evil and evil is called good. Verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnable slumbereth not. Their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah. Can I hear an amen there? But saved Noah. I'm going to ask you a question. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 6 that it repented God that he had made man. And he was going to destroy mankind. Why didn't he destroy everything? Why save Noah? Now, there's a definite reason that Noah was saved and his family. Donna? That's right. God had made a promise. He'd made a promise. There had to be a redeemer. And that's why Noah was available. And he had grace and saved him. Notice, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you'd have your hand upon these that are meeting tonight here at the Covenant Baptist Church. Protect us, Lord. And Lord, we pray that the words that are said would glorify you and strengthen us. Be with our pastor and his wife as they come back tomorrow. We pray, Lord, that you would just bless the election on Tuesday. We ask that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. A preacher of righteousness. If you go to Prestonville Cemetery and you get there and the driveway, as you know, is in a U shape. And as you pull in and at the bend, you get out of the car and you walk back over in this direction. And you'll find my brother's gravestone and my mother's gravestone and my dad's gravestone. And you will find on his a preacher of righteousness. You know, the fact of the matter is, he, that being Noah, had at some point in time preached to those men and women, and who would listen, that there was a coming destruction and they needed to prepare for it. We find that he was a preacher of righteousness. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust under the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly. Can I ask you this? You heard Pastor Stephen this morning talk about from Psalm chapter 1, and that's my favorite psalm. But the fact is, there are those who are godly and there are those who are not. And he knows how to deliver those who are godly. Can I tell you this, that sometimes deliverance is through death? You do realize that, right? That down through the years, hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of born-again believers have been martyred for the faith. They have been delivered. They have been delivered. All right. We're already done 2 Peter chapter 2. Where do you go now? Genesis chapter 6. Now, can I say this? That when we get to Psalm 139, we are not done. That's only about halfway. Okay, just so you know. Okay. I don't want anybody to get all excited and say, oh boy, he's almost done. No. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. Now, there's quite a few different opinions as to what this means, but most likely the sons of God were those that came through the line of Seth, and that the daughters of men were those who came through Cain, and they intermarried. It says here, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they look, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. Some would say mercy. Mercy. Now, Noah was not the only believer in the Lord Jehovah. There were others, but they just seemed to pass away, including Methuselah and others. But when the flood came, there were only 8 on that ark. Can I ask you a question? Do you think there were tears in the eyes of those 8 people when God shut the door? If you read in chapter 5, you find that Noah had brothers and sisters. Were they on the boat? No. We find that his daughter-in-laws had family. Were they on the boat? No. How many of you have been to the ark down in Kentucky? Number of you have been there. Would you agree with me? They could have had a whole lot more people than 8. They could have had a lot more people than 8, right? I mean, when you come around that last curve and you see that ark sitting out there and you think, oh, wow. You suddenly realize a lot of people could have been on that ark. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. We have to wonder, at what time will he once again say, enough's enough. Enough's enough. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was what? Great. If it was great in Noah's day, what about today? Would you agree that it's pretty rotten? I mean, we could go down a whole list of things that we have today they didn't have back then. I tell you what. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Continually. Folks, we realize that we live in a sinful society. And we realize that it is a struggle to live a godly life. We are constantly being tempted. The mud is constantly being flung at us. And if we're not careful, we'll become just as dirty as the world. It's amazing what is going on in our society. Verse 6, and it repented. Now, you probably would think repented. Some would say he regretted making man. It grieved him, it says in verse 6. Grieved him at his heart. My wife, as you know, is in a cast. If you were to look at the pictures from last year's 65th anniversary, you'll see that she was in a cast that year too. That one was blue. That was on her right hand. And she knew that when she had surgery on her left hand, it was going to be every bit as bad as it was the year before. And a lot of people say, and you were willing to do that again? Well, she says she'll get through it. Hopefully. Hopefully the cast will come off this week. You know, when you know something bad's coming, it's difficult, isn't it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, knew because of sinful man, he would have to go through the crucifixion and all that it involved. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You ever had your boss angry at you? Where maybe he told you off in no uncertain terms? Now, you know, for 20-some years, I was the boss here. For the last 14 months, 13 months, I'm low guy on the totem pole where I am now. I am low down. I mean, if you look for our names and our phone numbers, guess who's last? Even people who have been hired after me are above me. But don't ask me why. And the other day, I did something stupid. I still haven't told my wife what it was, and I still am not going to. But my boss said to me, you will not do that again. Right? Yes, sir. Good. I thought I was going to get fired. I was going to come back and work here. But you know, can you imagine God being angry with you? You say, oh, he would never be angry with me. Well, we can only hope, right? If you stopped reading the Bible at Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, you would think it was over. He's going to destroy mankind. He's going to destroy all of creation. Verse 8. Aren't you glad for verse 8? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I don't know how godly Noah was. Peter calls him a preacher of righteousness. But here we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Take your Bibles and keeping your place here. Turn where? Psalm 139, verse 7. The psalmist writes, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Are you marvelously made? Aren't you glad you know what you are? I have seen a lot of things happen where I work now. And I'll be honest with you, I'm embarrassed by what some of the things I've seen. But God desires that we serve him. God desires us to do right. Man is constantly trying to hide and say, it's all right. It's okay. But it's not. Back again to Genesis chapter 6. "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Wickedness. If you look it up in a thesaurus, it means evil. Iniquity, vice, corruption, immorality, viciousness. Verse 5, it says, "And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Repented the Lord that he had made man." He regretted it. In Acts chapter 2, verses 23 and 24a, we find these words, "Him," Jesus Christ, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death." Being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. My mother used to sing a song here on Good Friday. "He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he didn't do that, did he? He went to the cross because there was a job to be done." Verse 7, if you would, there, we find that he is going to destroy man whom I have created. Have you ever been doing a project at home and you bought the materials to do it or the ingredients to do it? And you set about doing that project. And about halfway through, you realized, uh-oh, this isn't going good. You have a couple of choices, don't you? You can call someone else and have them come and do it. That's an option, right? Yeah. But what most of us will do is we will take the evidence that we ever tried it and throw it away. Because we don't want any evidence that we tried. Yes. When God created man, did he make a mistake? Did he? Did he make a mistake? He did not make a mistake. What created the issues? Sin, right? How many in this room have sinned? Oh, some of you are raising your hand. I was really just wanting you to say, all of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that means Noah was a sinner, correct? And Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, and Jeff, they were all sinners, right? Yes. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Ephesians 2:5 says, by grace ye are saved. Verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Rudy, as I was walking into your library the other day, there were some people sitting outside wanting to give me some Bible information. You have to hand it to them to be sitting out there and wanting to propagate their works religion. And I smile at them and I just walk on. But you know, the fact is that there are many even in religious worlds that are trying to work their way to heaven. There's no way we can work our way to heaven. It's by grace. Grace. Quote, in both Hebrew and Greek, grace means favor or love. It implies a divine gift to man, not humanly earned, but rather essentially characteristic of its source. Its source. Who is the source of grace? God. Jesus Christ. It was by grace that Abraham's servant found Rebekah to be Isaac's wife. It was grace that Midianite merchantmen were passing and Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. It was grace that allowed Joseph to interpret Pharaoh's dreams so that he could save his father Jacob and his family. It was by grace that Balaam's donkey took action to save his life. It was by grace that Ruth stopped at the field of Boaz to glean grain. It was by grace that Naaman's wife's maid, boy, say that seven times. Naaman's wife's maid mentioned the prophet in Samaria. It was God's grace that kept Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from burning in the fiery furnace. It was God's grace that kept Daniel from being torn apart in the lion's den. It was grace that led, grace that warned Noah of a coming flood. It is by the grace of God that we can be saved from hellfire and live eternally with him in heaven. Verse 9, Genesis chapter 6. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah, what? Walked with God. What a testimony. Noah walked with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Enoch was said to have walked with God. To walk with God means to be in step with him, to allow him to lead the way, to let him be in charge. When we got the new songbooks for this auditorium, the one song that I wanted to make sure that was in the new book was, and I could ask Pastor Stephen if he remembers what that one song was. He's saying, no, he doesn't. It was in the garden. The songbook that we used to use in here did not have that one. Now, Geneva's book had it, but the one we had before, this one did not. In the garden. And C. Austin Miles writes, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. To walk with God is a blessing. Let's continue, verse 10. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Isn't it interesting that that verse is put there? It doesn't have to be. I mean, we're talking about the world being corrupt. We're talking about Noah being found in the right position. And now let's go to verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. We live in a violent society. We live in a society where there is a lot of evil things going on. And one of the most violent of the things that are going on, we have a chance to vote down on Tuesday. Do you know that if they would show a partial birth abortion on national television, that by the end of the week, abortion would be eliminated? If they would allow it, to see a baby being aborted, and I won't go into any more great detail, but it's violence. Utter violence. Verse 12. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God is communicating with Noah and telling him his plans. I am going to destroy mankind. I am going to destroy the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Do you like instructions? The other day I was at the store and I bought a spaghetti squash and it was sitting there on the counter, and Donna said, when are you going to make spaghetti? And so today I made spaghetti. And so I wanted to, you know, make sure that I made the spaghetti squash properly. You know, there are the right ways to do it, and there are the ways that I could have done it. So you get a knife, and you drive it into it, and you cut it in half, and you put it on a pan or a cookie sheet, baking sheet. You oil it up, and salt and pepper it, put it in the oven. And Donna said it's probably going to take about an hour, but set the timer for 45 minutes and we'll test it. And so you know that when you have a stove, you always have one eye that when the oven's on, the heat comes up through that one eye so you can put your green beans on that one eye without having to turn on the eye, right? Because it heats up. It cooks the green beans. It does it at the same time. So, Donna got, with the spaghetti sauce, squash. Spaghetti sauce. Anybody ever eat those things? One, two. She put her spaghetti sauce on her squash because it looks like spaghetti. Yeah. Of course, you know what I made. Real spaghetti. Yeah, yeah. But I followed the instructions. You know, when we're in life, we follow instructions. Noah was given the plans. Notice verse 15. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Does your Bible tell you 300 cubits is 450 feet? Okay. The breadth of it, 50 cubits. And the height of it, 30 cubits. In other words, it's 450 feet long. It's 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Now, just so that you remember, Pastor Stephen and I measured it from the back of the parking lot to the sign. So the sign out here in front to the back of the parking lot is 450 feet. That's big. Room enough for the animals. Room enough for the food. Room enough for a lot of people. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. He's given him a plan. God has a plan now, doesn't he? The plan is that the church will study the Word of God, will learn the Word of God, and then will share the Word of God. That's the plan. The preaching of the Word is important to go forth. Verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In verse 16 of chapter 7. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, in what? And the Lord shut him in. As you take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we only have about a minute to go. My pastor in Texas believed this, that if the ark is ever found, that the door will be still closed. Because he believed that once God closed the door, man couldn't open it, and that they had to come out another way. Not going to say that I agree or disagree with that. But God shut the door. Once someone is dead, you can't pray them into heaven. Once someone dies, they go to their eternal reward. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. He was willing to listen. One thing I have learned through the years, not everybody is willing to listen to the message. There are those who are going to try to find another way. But there's only one way that pleases the Lord. And that's his way. Shall we stand together? Maybe this evening, you'd like to come and pray for someone that you know needs to be saved. Maybe a family member. Friend, co-worker, maybe you just like to come and pray for that person tonight. Folks, it's not a game that we are doing here at church. souls are in the balance. Souls that need to be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now your hand on this invitation time. And we ask, Lord, that your will be done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.